I promise to save their world.
Your weekly dose of geek news from TV, movies, comics, and the internet. This is Hijinks Ensue,
the Geek Podcast.
Bandwidth for Hijinks Ensue provided by Infinistorm. For custom VPS hosting solutions, professional website development, or to share your photos and videos for free, check out infinistorm.com/hijinks.
Hijinks Ensue Podcast, episode number 58. This is Joel from HijinksEnsue.com, and this is the second episode that we're bringing to you through the magic of Skype and the internet from multiple locations. So, there were a lot of, as you may expect, additional technical problems starting this episode. And the first, two, 3 minutes of it were not recorded properly in Skype, and I had to pull the audio from the Ustream feed, which sounds terrible. So in just a few seconds here, you're going to hear the show start with that audio. Don't run away. You may fear it, but do not run away. And you'll also miss the introductions, but my co-hosts on this episode are Eli and Alex, the art director for Dallas Observer at DallasObserver.com. So get through the first couple of minutes with me and grit your teeth, bear it, and then everything sounds a little bit better about 3 minutes in. So here we go. Hijinks Ensue Podcast, episode 58.
Look, eventually I'm going to get this down. I promise.
Focus in on your listening.
Oh, you know what I can do? How's that, guys? Can you hear that a little bit better? I just realized I had a volume knob, and I had full control over it.
That would do it.
Suck balls, technology. I own you.
Wait, did you call Al Gore and say, like, hey, so when you were building the internet, how would I go about Skyping?
I have him on my other Skype channel that you can't hear.
Oh.
He's like, well, Joel, the first thing you need to do is plug in your headphones. And then get a first account.
First you want to go green.
He sounds like a silly cartoon horse.
He does, doesn't he? He's like, doop-de-doop-de-doo. This is Al Gore. That's not what he sounds like at all, but for all intents and purposes, that's good enough for me.
Like he was on Mr. Ed?
You guys actually voted for me as president, but then for some reason I'm not the president. What happened?
Like a big buck-toothed, like, horse.
Yeah, he's perpetually chewing straw.
New character. Al Gore is the bashful buzzard from Looney Tunes. No.
I'm just a simple country chicken loyal.
It's hyper chicken. I move that I be disbarred on account of...
Okay, now you're just talking like Popcorn Leghorn.
I said, boy, I'll eat you.
Buzz Buzzard. So on this episode... Shut up, Buzz Buzzard. On this episode of Hijinks Ensue, we are going to do an all-male sack episode. An all-male, all-male sack. Both versions of male there. Because last week we didn't have a show, and the week before that we had so many technical problems, we didn't want to chance it with a mail sack, so we did just stuff. So anywhere from no to few topics this week, and then a mail sack, and I've got all your questions conveniently pulled up in front of me. I think I've gotten good at this internet thing. I think I know where all the knobs are now. I have no less than... Hey, you know what's funny?
It's about to die.
You know what's funny? I'm going to go ahead and hit record on the audio side now.
Oh, no.
Now I'm recording. So there you go. That means
Hello.
I'm actually going to have to go back and...
Whatever.
Get the audio off the fucking Ustream for the first couple of minutes of the...
This sounds like a YP.
Yeah, it pretty much is.
Yeah.
There are no less than like 10 apps working in Confluence to make this happen. This is ridiculous.
Excuse me, fellas, but this just in, Tornado Watch in effect until 11 p.m. for Dallas County.
Oh, I don't live in that county, thank God.
You know what? Yeah, you know what else sounds like
God
a YP?
Take them all.
That.
Yeah.
For you.
I say wind and rains take you all and let Satan sort you out.
I ain't in Dallas County, bro.
I'm outside
of Dallas
that
County.
That is kind of the poor side of town, and I don't know.
I live in the heroin capital of the world.
Well, of America. World. America.
Whatever. It's all the same. It's one and one the same.
Sure. Anyway, I'm not as good at the internet as I thought, because I'm probably still not recording.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I'm going to go ahead and pull up the old maily mail sack here. And we can get our shit started.
Do it. Rock and roll.
Hey, you know where Josh is right now? Not here.
Yeah.
He's in Wisconsin. I think he has a secret boyfriend.
He's in gravy country, isn't he?
No, he's got a secret boyfriend in Wisconsin.
Oh.
Is he made out of cheese?
Aren't they all? He's going to put him in a wood chipper.
Oh, nice.
And then he'll have shredded cheese.
Hey.
For his
hey, cheese. Hey.
What?
No.
I don't know.
Back
to that would be shredded cheese.
We're going to go straight into the mail sack. This is, again, episode 58 of the Hijinksu podcast.
That's what Josh is doing, too.
If he's an Italian boyfriend, then if you shred him up, it's Parmesan cheese.
Or provolone.
Hey.
A wicked gay pizza over here.
Meatball.
That's a spicy gay pizza.
It's meat lovers.
That's what he said. That's what both of him said. Because it's
bada
two
beak,
dudes.
Bada boom.
Bada boom. Two guys, pizza, gay.
Forget about it.
That would be the best like local pizza commercial restaurant like TV ad for like Gay Brothers Pizza. Hey, come on down to Gay Brothers. We're sausage lovers over here.
We'll stuff that sausage like nothing. Hey!
Nobody's business. Bada boom. Look at this.
You love the spice of the meatball?
Oh!
We give you the spicy meatball.
Two balls and a sausage over here.
The first thing you can't even handle.
Oh, go ahead.
Shoot. God damn it.
Have we started yet?
Yes. Oh, what is that? Who's
Are
doing
we
that?
Oh, don't do that.
Sorry.
Hold on, shift.
Sorry. I can't, because I'm only using one headphone, I can't really hear you guys that well. So, the first thing I wanted to bring up is that I was leaving my neighborhood. This is actually a mail sack question that I wrote to myself. I was leaving my neighborhood, and every time I see a garage sale in my neighborhood, I always slow down to see kind of what kind of shit my neighbors have.
That means you have a little bit of Mexican in you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's also, I'm like the only... You know, white person.
That's what you guys were doing before I joined in.
What?
Tonight.
Having a little bit of Mexican in me?
Yes.
Bada boom! Hey!
Hey!
Gay Brothers.
Try our new Mexican restaurant.
Hey! Taco Town!
Taco Town! So I pull over to this guy's garage sale. He's got like a Solo Flex. And like a one of those like a Bowflex and like four ab machines, and he's a big fucking fat dude. And I'm like, well, obviously you are getting rid of this fine.
Wow, he didn't use those.
Then
things
against the garage door, he's got about three or four Renfest swords and a fucking Klingon Batleth.
Oh, nice!
So that means he bought all that expensive equipment to train to become
a Klingon warrior. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Uh-huh.
But it didn't work out.
So, you don't know that.
You don't know how tempted I was to get out and like, how much for the Soloflex? 500. How much for the honorable Klingon weapon over there against the garage door? Like, $10 maybe? Like, you know, I don't know. I could see myself with one of those.
I could see the wife trying to sneak that. She probably snuck that out there and put it out there and he didn't notice.
She's like, God damn it, Barbara!
She's like,
is this my fucking Batleth in the garage sale pile? Bitch! I got that
I'm trying to order a pizza over here.
I got that from the
fucking con. You know I'm going to train with that. You're never going to train with it. I'm going to fucking train with
you're
it.
You're never going to use it.
You don't use. Now it's Archie's wife. You don't use.
Oh,
the
Archie.
Soloflex. You don't use the Aberrator. And you don't use the Batleth. I
put the Batleth away.
You got the Batleth DVD and you don't even do it. You don't even watch.
What is like a Tybo DVD?
Yeah, it's like a Tybo yogurt with Klingon Tybo.
Batleth. Talk about an untapped market. Fucking Star Trek like workout videos.
Klingon Tybo. You don't even do the DVD, bitch. I do the DVD. You did it one time.
You keep ordering that. You keep ordering that pizza from that one place.
I don't know what that means. I don't know where you're going with that.
Apparently, everybody else does. So,
what
thank
are you.
You.
Talking about?
I'll be here all week.
What are you talking about? Yep. So, so anyway, I came back after we've been gone for a couple hours. I came back; it was still there, and I was like, "That is a sign that I need to go buy that." I wonder if he was trying to push it. Like people, like, so, how much for the bath mats? $1. It's so, you know, you can I interest you in a Klingon Batleth, perchance?
What is he, like Bill Murray?
Yes,
from
now
Caddyshack?
He's Bill Murray. Look, dude, now he's Bill Murray. Whatever. Can interest you in a Batleth, perchance? What's that? Oh, it's the Klingon weapon of honor. It's all warriors must be trained. Batleth. It's not
nice.
Only a good defensive, but an offensive weapon. Let me demonstrate. He starts doing his poses and shit.
It also pulls out weeds like crazy.
That's what he's. That's actually what old Klingons use it for when they've like they're not fighting anymore. They've got Batleth. They're like scraping the grout with them and shit. He's in the bathroom redoing the tile with it.
It's like that weasel thing that pulls out your weeds from the ground.
The garden weasel.
The yard weasel.
The garden Batleth.
Yeah.
Billy Mays here for the garden Batleth. Are your weeds dishonorable like a fucking Romulan Patak? Then slash them with the garden Batleth.
Hey, look at this guy. I can't get these weeds out, but with the whatever it is.
No,
oh,
no,
you dropped the ball.
No.
You dropped the Batleth.
Yeah, whatever. All right.
Call
wait,
now
there,
or we'll double your order.
Is there even a
Batleths.
Question here?
Yeah, what the hell are we talking about?
I don't know. Let's
move
on.
Oh, this was your question? You just wanted
to
talk about the Batleth.
To remind myself that a guy on my street was selling Klingon warrior weaponry at his garage sale.
Yeah, well, it sounds like right now I think Alex is happy he is in Tornado, like, Tornado Alley or whatever. I think he'd rather have that than neighbors like yours.
Dude, that last...
I don't know, man. He might come in
handy. Tornado explosion we had 2 days ago, it knocked over like 5 fences in my neighborhood. That shit was serious.
Yeah, it was pretty hardcore.
That was like some Dorothy over the rainbow type shit.
Yeah, I was at the gym, and they made us all like go into the shower rooms.
Sure thing.
And I was like, I am not going into the shower with these dudes.
Right.
Everyone in the showers. Everyone
no, they're like, tornado warning. Eli's like, oh, we should go in the shower. We should all, and you know, it's
sir,
probably safer if we're naked.
You don't need to pull down your pants.
Yeah. And I think it's safer this way.
This is a shower room.
I think it's safer. Turn the water on. Let's get soaped up. We want to be clean. If you know, there's paramedics and firefighters and.
No, it was funny though because like
firefighters.
The first thing that everybody does when they come on the intercom to say like a tornado was spotted like not too far from here, everybody walks to the giant glass windows to go get a look
to literally get decapitated by flying shards of evil glass.
That was pretty awesome. And then the guy had to get back on the intercom, which is right next to everybody who was standing there. He's like, no, seriously, you need to get away from the glass.
No,
I was like,
serious.
Wow. But it was all a bunch of rat, like gym rats being all like, hey, what? I can lift like 275. Ain't no tornado gonna hurt this guy.
I'll punch it in his fucking face.
I'll wrestle that tornado down.
Fuck that tornado. I'll punch it in the head.
I watch UFC. I'll use some Brazilian jiu-jitsu and put him in a leg figure eight
that
dancing, leg lock.
That like, where like you handstand and then dance, and then somehow that fights people. The dance fighting, the Brazilian. Never mind.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
In only
capoeira.
The strong.
Nothing.
What?
Never mind.
Capoeira. Yeah.
That. Those words that you said. That's what I'm talking about.
Whatever. From Only the Strong, right?
No.
I think it was from Double Trouble 2 or.
Big Trouble in Little China.
Dragon Fist 5.
Fisting the Dragon 5.
Fisting.
I think that's from Josh's collection.
Was that one? Well, no, that was Bruce Lee's last movie, right? Fisting the Dragon? Sort of in the wane of his career.
Something. So
that was Bruce Penis's first movie.
Bruce Fist Penis.
Yeah.
That's a really bad porn name for Bruce Lee. Like, that's just, it's not even close. It's just too, it's not vague at all. There's no innuendo. It's just Bruce Cock and Balls.
That's how racist they were back then to Asians, because they didn't even give, you know, we're not going to waste, you know, 10 minutes of our time trying to come up with a creative porn name. Fuck it. What's his first name? Bruce. All right, Bruce Penis, go.
Bruce Penis, next. Sandy Vagina.
Needless to say, they are always typecast for lesser roles.
Ooh. So, first question. Speaking of that, first question comes from Christine. This is actually interesting. What's your favorite regional fast food chain? Could be Texas, could be anywhere else, that other places don't necessarily have.
Because,
you know, L.A.'s nuts over In-N-Out Burger, and nowhere else has that.
In that case, I'm going to say that Whataburger...
Hell yes.
Is something that's very specific to this area, and
is it really?
I think it's actually pretty damn good. Yeah, it's a Texas
Texas based, born in Corpus Christi, 1957.
Yep.
And why do you have so much information about Whataburger?
They teach there's a chapter in our school books of Texas history in junior high down in the valley.
Are you kidding me?
It's Whataburger.
We're learning the Alamo. You're learning Whataburger and like Dairy Queen history.
Yeah, the unit
the
on water
started in 1978 when
it helped build our economy.
Yeah,
that's how.
Actually, they were just preparing you for your future employment opportunities.
It helped build all our cholesterol too.
Yeah, in chapter 2, they talked about how the grease had to be at 375, and that was key to like having crispy French fries.
I don't actually like Whataburger that much.
Oh my god!
Listen, here's why though. Here's why. Just like Sonic, they have really thin buns. And it's kind of just like a floppity, like a...
Hell yes, like a that's exactly what it
hamburger.
Is.
It's kind of gross. I think
it's actually so good. I think if you were without it, you would realize how much you
missed. I haven't
missed.
Had it in 10 years, probably. Not since I left Beaumont.
Jesus.
Well,
I maybe had it twice in Dallas. I'll tell you what they did have, though, that I used to go nuts for in Beaumont. On $2 on, like, Wednesday... You could get a full chicken fried steak meal. And that was like the one day a week I could eat.
Why would you go there for that?
Because it was $2 and it was pretty
good. Go to Luby's for that.
And that's $10.
I don't think there's any such thing as good $2 chicken fried steak.
No, it was not good, but it was good. It was, I don't know. It was, I ate it. Let's put it that way.
Sounds like 99 cent tacos from Jack in the Box.
Exactly that quality of food, correct. Yes.
Tacos.
Pass the tacos. Are we on the midnight taco train again?
Yeah, the midnight taco train to
Georgia.
Right, Albuquerque at midnight.
A second runner-up to Whataburger, though, and hopefully, Jolie, you will like this.
Okay.
Particular Chick-fil-A.
Is that regional too?
It's southern. It's only available like in a handful
really?
Of states. Yeah,
I don't consider that regional though. That's like saying Wendy's is regional.
Well, I think it's only Texas, Louisiana, like Georgia, and that's it, or something
like
that.
That's like 75% of the population, so I'm not worried about that. But no, yeah, Chick-fil-A, I eat there probably 4 or 5 times a week. But, and Dairy Queen's probably regional, too. They're almost
Dairy Queen is super regional, isn't it?
They have it
in Philly and up in the Northeast.
Chick-fil-A's on the move because everyone in the chat room is saying, I got one in my backyard. You know, DC, Colorado.
That's how they're going to spread Christianity is through Chick-fil-A.
No, they're
through
Mormons.
Delicious chicken.
Yeah.
Every time I eat there, I want Jesus in my belly.
Well, it's because you're breaking the, you're breaking the chicken.
I cannot fucking tell you how often we try to go there on Sunday. Because it just doesn't make any sense that a delicious chicken restaurant should be closed on Sunday. Because people are hungry for delicious chicken on Sunday,
that's
too.
That's when... Yeah, exactly. That is... See, there's something fundamentally wrong here.
They are missing 1/7 of their profit potential. And I guarantee you, Jesus doesn't care whether or not chicken is sold on Sunday.
I could imagine Jesus sitting in his little like corner office with like the glasses up over the head and the pencil over the ear, using a old school tape, like, you know, accounting thing or whatever, and going like, you know, we could get some really increased sales if we open Chick-fil-A on Sundays. I'm just saying, I'm Jesus. That's all I got to add to that.
Well, he wouldn't be able to just make that executive decision.
Well, you know, because what's his
face? Yeah, since when does he have to use, you know, an adding machine? I thought he could just go boom. I mean, I don't know. That's the whole.
If you want to believe that in what you read, I don't believe everything I read.
You know? Have you read the reason?
Water to wine, my ass.
You've read the reason on their wall, right? Like, they have it printed.
Well, everyone knows he turned that shit into tequila. I mean, his name is Jesus.
Have you read Have you read their reasoning in Chick-fil-A? They have it, like, up on the walls.
Yeah, it's because
like we want our their quote is like, we want our employees to spend time with their family. And I'm like, yeah. Bitch, I bet they want the extra 8 hours a week.
Well, why don't they try hanging out on like Thursday or something?
Because they
make Thursday family night. Fuck that. I want chicken.
Well, you know what? If you go even smaller, there's a couple that I really love from Beaumont. There was one called Checkers that.
Oh, snap. Burgers and
we don't even
badass
have here.
Curly fries.
Their fries are amazing.
Yeah, we
they're
had
like
a Checkers.
Triple fried. They're like 100 times fried.
It's just grease. It's solid, crispy grease.
Oh, yeah, no, there's no potato by the time they're
with
done.
With potato flavoring.
All the gross potato has been cooked out.
It's been removed. That fatty, you know,
it's
nonsense.
It's as if there was a shell. Like, if potato melts at 1,000 degrees, they like cook the fry at 1,500, so the potato is just there until they don't need it anymore. And then they can build on the fry.
It's as if a French fry, like an Orida French fry, could molt after it's done with its skin.
Uh-huh.
When it leaves behind, that is what you get.
And their burgers are just dripping with this special sauce, which is probably ketchup and mayonnaise, but it's still really good.
There's probably something else in there.
Checkers reminds me of Burger Street, which I like.
It's a lot like that. But yeah,
I can only
better. It's way better though.
It's yeah,
better.
It's way better.
Also,
but
twice the size.
I can only eat at Burger Street like once every 6 months.
Yeah,
because that shit sits in your stomach for about every 6 months.
And why is it the places with the burgers that do that always like the only thing you can get to drink there is like a 4 gallon malt?
Because if you don't, you'll die. You need
like you
that
to
consume. That meal. I mean, it'd be irresponsible of them to give you a smaller drink.
They put an entire bottle of Pepto in every shake just for your own good.
They mix that in with the special sauce. That's why
I'm going to have a triple with 3 kinds of cheese and double onions. And they're like, and a malt. And you're like, no. They're like, and a malt.
And a malt.
No.
And a shake.
I don't want, and a shake. No, I don't want.
Would you like a strawberry shake?
Sir, you're going to need a shake. I'm legally, I'm not allowed to sell you this without a shake.
There's one thing. There's one last thing that I want to bring up on this topic that only Alex and I know about it.
Ah,
and it's back home where we grew up, which is
the center of the earth,
500 miles south. There's a little. It's fast food.
Moon.
It's fast food Tex-Mex, and it's this place called El Pato.
Pato, like the pot.
Like the foot. Bato, like
Bato, B-A-T-O.
P-A-T-O. Right.
Pato does not mean foot in Spanish.
Pato? Yeah.
Go ahead.
Anyway, it's a fast food Mexican joint that we grew up with, and it only exists apparently down on the border. And it is really good.
Down on the border.
In Portuguese, pato means duck.
On the stream.
What? Playing something music, something feet.
Yeah, every time you walk in, that's what
El
you hear.
Pato.
Yeah.
That's the only song they play?
Yeah.
It's Willie and the Poor Boys?
And then you can't leave.
What do you want to attest to? You want to... Because you love it, man.
I love it.
If I have to not tell Eli I'm leaving town, otherwise he will...
Bring me back
hey,
to El Pato.
He will kick my ass for not bringing him back an El Pato, like number
by
five.
By the way, Eli, just so you know, Pato means duck.
Whatever.
It does not mean foot in any way, shape, or form.
Whatever. So yeah, one time I actually had Alex kill a dog. I had Alex kill a dog and stuff its innards with tons of El Pato tacos just to get it across back up here. Just to keep it warm.
Yeah, maybe they mean drum mentions in the chat. Maybe they mean zapato, like shoe?
No.
And it's duck. You've been going your whole life living a lie.
It's not a duck, dude. But anyway.
You know what else? Regional, that actually when I used to drink a lot of soda, was really good. And if anybody ever drove past it, you had to get them to hook you up. Is they make the cane sugar Dr. Pepper.
In
Dublin, Texas. And if anybody's ever driving through there, we would get like cases. When I used to work at a satellite company, if our installers would ever go, he would take orders and mark it up like $10 a case. And we'd pay him, you know, fucking people would be giving him 20, 30, 50 bucks for Dr. Pepper. Because it, goddamn, it's so much better. It's ridiculously good compared to,
Oh, it's pure diabetes in a bottle.
That's better for you than corn syrup.
Yeah, but
I mean, it's probably more fattening, but it's not going to kill you as quickly.
Fattening?
Kill you for different reasons.
Hey, since we're talking about fucked up, locale, you know, one-of-a-kind dive and drive, Eli can also attest to this other little gem in our hometown, the Colonial. Have you talked about this before, Eli?
No. No.
Oh, boy.
We've gone from regional to like sub-regional now, right?
This is like micro-regional. I mean, There is this off of this one of this main drag in town. There's this dilapidated little old gas station. It's got like a pump. It's like been there since like the freaking.
That's also town. It's also town hall.
Yeah, it used to be like the church, and it's got technology though. It's got an automatic opening door when you walk on the mat, and it opens up, and it's like, ooh, very nice. And you walk in, and it's a shithole. It's a total shithole. It's amazing. They have donuts and ho-hos that have been there since 1973 on the shelf. They've got buckets galore catching all kinds of fluids that are leaking from the ceiling.
Like not necessarily water.
Yeah, it's just liquid of various hues collecting in these paint buckets and grease buckets. And mind you, strewn throughout the aisles of this alleged convenience store. I mean, it's like the Clerk's convenience store times 1,000 shit points.
Times Mexican, yeah.
Yeah, times
and there's this woman that works behind this fortress of, like, cigarettes. And she's sitting there in this little cubicle of cigarettes. And she's got the register and a Virginia Slim 100 hanging out of her mouth. And she's like, hey, honey, what do you want? And it'd be myself and five other of my high school buddies. And we're there and we're like, okay, we're here to eat. We want the special, one each, all around, with cheese. And she's like, all right, that'll be, $3.01 a piece. And this is what you get. You take, like, a one-foot-over step, and there's the grill. And there's this dude. His name is, you know...
It's next to the cash register.
Yeah, it's right there. And
she's ringing you up with one hand and flipping your burger with the other hand.
No, she's got a system. She's got a cook. The fry guy there, he's like, his name's like Cheeky or Cookie or, you know, Cookie. Greasy or something.
Four specials, and, Cookie.
Yeah, and he's, you know, and all, decked out in all whites. You and can he's see like, every single stain. He's huge. He looks like an egg. He's like Humpty Dumpty there flipping burgers.
He's the guy that we would refer to as he's the chef from You Can't Do That on Television.
Barf? Oh, Barf, yeah. Yeah. But much portlier.
But and, real life.
Yeah. And so he's there, and, you know, she tells him, okay, I need five specials. Man. And then he's like, and he grabs, like, five rock-hard frozen, you know, beef patties or beef product patties from the box above the grill, throws them down, and he starts preparing the other items. He gets out of this little, like, box warmer of these little wrapped precious, you know, burritos. They're like spring roll size.
So far, the special includes a burger and a burrito.
And a burrito. Okay. A deep fried burrito that's been sitting under UV light all morning. That goes in the bag. You get everything in a big sack. The burger's cooking. Then come out the fries. He goes to the freezer, pulls out a bag of who knows what, pours it in the fryer. Boom. That's cooking. Flips the burger, adds the cheese, gets the fries out, throws them in little tiny white paper bags. Throws that in the big paper bag, gets the burger, gets the floppy bun, slathers it with whatever the hell they put on there, throws on lettuce, pickles, tomato, all that shit, boom, boom, wrap it, throw it in the bag, hands you your giant gallon cup to get your drink that comes at your special, and they have Coke, Pepsi, Coke, and like Big Red, you know, and that's it. You pour your ice, you get your drink, you get your bag, you go in the back, and it turns into like arcade graveyard because there's like a wall of arcade machines of games that I don't think ever really existed.
No.
They might be props from a movie because they don't work.
It's called
they blink.
Like Shoot Machine.
Yeah, it's called like, you know, BMX right
and
race.
And they don't
like,
take
what?
Quarters. They take discs.
They take coupons. You sit in the back and it's like a
wait,
it's straight
does,
out.
Does the special come with video game playing?
No, it's okay. Ambiance, you know.
Yeah.
And there are little booths. You get, or it's like something out of, you know, 3-2-1 Contact. It's like orange and yellow and red booths. And you sit down, and it's horrendous. And the wood paneling is deteriorating from the liquid dripping and the roaches chewing on it. And there's grease everywhere. And you sit down, and you try not to barf.
Tapestry of imagery here.
You dig into the bag, you dump the bag out, and you lay everything out. Everything is wrapped in white, like wax paper. Or encased in white paper. And
yeah.
By the time you get from when the guy hands you the bag to when you sit down, only a few feet away, everything is transparent. So you can see, that way it's easier to choose what am I going to devour first. Usually it's the fries, because those are just so hot and crispy, and they're so terrible, but they're great. And you consume those, and then you dive into the burger, and it's huge. It's like a Whataburger, floppy and messy and fucked up. But it's so delicious. You saw where it was cooked. You saw what touched it, who touched it, and where it fell. But you don't care because it tastes so great.
Did they give you a cup of, like, game tokens?
No.
No. No, the cup is for your drink. I mean, this is the combo meal. You consume your giant Whataburger that's really not a Whataburger. And then you get the dessert, which is your deep-fried burrito. And it slides right out of the package. And you just chew on that, and it's delicious, and you finish off your gallon styrofoam cup.
I'll be right back.
Coke. And he's going to go get one now. He couldn't help himself.
No. And then you, like, liquid shit out everything when you're done.
Yeah, that bathroom, oh, my Lord. You ever go in that bathroom?
Yeah, it's like that...
it's a rape bathroom.
Yeah, it's like that horror movie, all of them.
That bathroom is like New York from the 80s.
Yeah, it's like it's like the bathroom from what is it? Escape from New York. That whole movie is that bathroom. It's scary and you don't want to go in there.
Yeah.
But it's cool to say that you did.
Yeah.
And say that you made it out alive.
Okay, I'm back.
So
where'd you go? Did you have to go take a dump after that?
Say goodnight to the girly. And also I added a link on this list or this question here to apparently HoustonPress.com did the 10 best burger dives in Texas, and one of them is actually in a little town outside of Beaumont called Lumberton, which if Beaumont's a shithole, Lumberton is like the shithole suburb of Beaumont that also has like expensive houses right next to trailer parks that they can't get people to leave or whatever. Anyway. If you didn't want the hustle and bustle of big city Beaumont, you would move to Lumberton. And it's a place called Dippity Donuts. That it's called Dippity Donuts. There is one of those robot Italian guys from outside a pizza joint outside. You know, that's like spins like back and forth. He's like, zzz, zzz, and like he should be holding a pie, but he's not. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Like they would. It's like they'd stand that outside of a pizza joint. It's like a big stereotypical Italian guy in a chef hat, and
it's like
a mannequin, you know. And it would rotate, and his arm would move. But it was outside of Dippity Donuts, and they like removed the pizza and tried to make him not look like a pizza guy. Like I don't know why they had the pizza robot, but they did.
Pizza guy.
Yeah, he's like, hey, get some freaking donuts over here. But for some reason, they're called Dippity Donuts. But what they're like famous for is their giant, greasy, disgusting fried burgers, and it actually made the list of like best burgers in Texas or whatever. And I remember that place. It's fucking great. I haven't been there since I was like 12. Huh. So go there if you're ever in a shithole part of Texas. Let's move on.
Yeah, if you're at a if you're like at a KKK rally, make sure you hit up.
If you're going
that
to a Klan
place.
Rally, go to Dippity Donuts because that's where they meet afterwards anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is for, or we can answer this or not. This is from the Stig. What was your most memorable date, romantic wise, and why? Huh. And I can't use my proposal story, which they've already heard, I guess, is what he says. That's the caveat here.
Hmm. I don't know if I have anything.
Those are some goddamn horrendous shirts.
What?
Oh, yeah. I sent Alex. I sent Alex a link to El Pato because apparently they have merchandise now.
Oh, merchandising.
Does anyone have any date stories?
Is this the View? I don't.
How about
I
think
this is more like a
most disastrous date ever.
This is actually more of a we need a Josh here question.
We could make up
for
him. His worst one is when it wasn't one of his, it was one of his friends that showed up and the guy was in the wheelchair for the booty call Craigslist hookup.
And
he goes, if you want my legs out of the way, you're gonna have to move them yourself.
Yeah. And he's like, all right, well, let's do this. And I was like, all right. So
whatever. Okay, moving on. Because I guess we're answering that one.
I don't have anything.
Drum says, what was your most unforeseeable injury? And I'll switch, any injury story. Any good broken bone, smashed face story.
Well, I've already shared mine with, dislocating my shoulder due to butter piles at a movie theater.
Oh, yeah. I had my hand locked in the door of a Ford Bronco one time when I was about 9.
Did it take off?
It was going down. It was going about 60, and I was running after it.
Was it OJ's Bronco?
Yes. Actually, it was the same car, but ours was green, I think.
Did you know that happened 15 years ago today?
Today?
Yes. Today is the 15-year anniversary.
The murder was today, 15 years ago?
No, the whole spectacle of him driving.
That's the same day.
People with signs over the 101 or whatever saying.
No, that was he killed him that day.
No, it wasn't the night before or some shit.
I don't know. It was probably after midnight. I bet it was actually that day.
After midnight. Anyway, that was just a side note about your Bronco.
Well, we were driving to Florida. I think we were going to Disney World or some shit. And we had gotten out of the hotel. We were halfway there, and we were getting out of the Bronco. And I had a empty orange soda bottle, and I'm like 9 or 10. And right as we're about to get out, I throw it back in the cab of the truck, and my dad slams the door, and it was already locked.
Oh God!
And it completely crushed and slammed my hand in the door, locked, and it's like. It was like a fucking cartoon. I'm like jumping up and down, but my hand is completely still and stuck. And, people are fumbling for the keys and like can't get it unlocked. You didn't have key fobs back then. You actually had to like put a key in the hole and turn it and turn a crank. And a mule had to walk around a big circle and fucking pull ropes and shit to get a door open. And when they pulled it out, it had closed exactly between my thumb and forefinger across my palm. And my hand was just black. From the middle of my hand straight up.
Wow. That's
a pretty good one.
That sucks.
I actually broke any bones though. I don't have any bone breaking stories.
I've had hairline fractures and stuff like that, but I mean they're not so I jumped out of a car onto another car, and then when I got home, I slipped in some butter and I fractured my shoulder. Nothing cool like that.
Did I ever tell you about the time that I rode my bike across town and got hurt?
I don't know if I told the
story or not. I was 12 or 13, and I wasn't allowed to leave our neighborhood on my bike, but I had ridden to a friend's house, which was 2 hours away by bike, and I knew I wasn't fucking supposed to be over there, but he had these dirt trails behind his house, and so the plan was to ride the dirt trails all afternoon and then go home before anybody got home. So I fucking huff it over there. It takes forever. We get to the dirt trails, and he runs one of them, and I'm like, oh, that's fucking sweet. I'm going to do one. The very first one, I'm at the top of the hill. I go over a couple of bumps. My front tire hits a rock.
No.
I fly over the handlebars, land. My face hits the ground first and then skids like 3 feet. And then my body and my bike flip up over my back to where like my feet would be going over my back and then touching my head, basically, but with my bike still attached. So like my back tire is on my head and there's all these additional impacts as I'm going. And I get up and I'm all fucking cut up and bruised. All of the skin on one side of my nose is completely scraped off, and or you know, the top few layers or whatever. And my clothes are all fucking ripped and I'm bleeding. And the only thing I can't figure out is like how I'm gonna get home and explain all of this. So I go back to his house, I get as cleaned up as I can, and ride my bike home. And then, like, on the way there, I come up with a story about how this guy, these teenagers were in a truck, and they saw me riding in the ditch right by our house.
Oh, right.
And swerved to scare me, and I fell in the fucking ditch. And then I actually, like, replayed the scene from A Christmas Story where Ralphie's making up why he got, like, shot his eye out with his gun.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same fake tears. Then,
and the thing, and they got me, and I went,
and I fell in the ditch. And, and like, it totally worked. And
that's awesome.
But this was the fucked up part. So a couple of days later, the scab on my nose kind of starts to heal, and it looks like I've got, like, blackheads all over my nose. And I'm like, what the fuck? It was really bizarre. And so I like looking in the mirror and messing with them, and I realize it's dirt.
Yeah.
Like there's
like little pieces of gravel and
twigs
shit.
And gravel and shit. Yeah. Completely embedded in my nose. And when I finally like scrubbed it all out, I had like scrubbed the skin completely raw, and I had half my nose was a scab for like 3 weeks. It was great. I mean, terrible. It was awful. It was the worst thing that ever happened to me.
So. I wouldn't say the worst thing that's ever happened to you, but okay.
No, it was. I was never the same. Alex, yeah. Do you have any injury stories?
Not
you ever
really.
Sprain your dick or anything like that?
Any swinging dick? No, I've never broken a bone.
Me either.
Thank God. So in a way, I almost regret not having that child experience, as most kids do. Oh, broken arm, fell out of a fucking tree, you know?
Yeah.
And I almost feel a little ill-equipped because I've never experienced that kind of pain, you know? So I'm just afraid that if, you know, God
so
forbid
like
I do break
days,
a bone.
One of these days you're going to be 35 or 40 and like
yeah,
and break a bone and cry like a bitch.
And I'll be like, oh my God! Oh Jesus, this is fucking terrible!
You know? Worst thing.
I'd be a fucking mess.
I didn't know pain could be like this.
Right. I had no fucking idea.
Oh, God.
Shit.
Well, didn't you have kidney stones, though?
Yes.
That's
and
pretty
I would
bad,
say
right?
I would say that's yeah. pretty severe pain.
But I never passed them. They broke up, and then, you know, they moved on. Thank God.
I just remember you being in pain, like...
That kind of having kidney pain is fucking shit-tastic. Like, I couldn't sleep for 2 nights because I was in so much pain. I mean, I it was just terrible. It was almost to the point where I was getting nauseous because it's just like it was constant, non-stop, just this disgusting pain that is very unique to that part of the body. And
like a knife in your gut.
It's like a knife in your side, like in your lower back side. Like someone stuck a knife in there and they're just kind of...
Butthole?
What?
I don't know. You said backside.
You said dick hole?
Like in your dick hole? Like a knife in your dick? Well, it would have been if you'd passed it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Out. It would have been like
coming...
a knife in your dick hole.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank God.
Plus,
have
you ever seen a kidney stone magnified? It's like a jagged fucking meteorite.
It looks like the fucking asteroid from Armageddon.
That would have tore your dick hole up.
God bless Harry Stamper.
That would have been horrible.
Ooh. That's the sequel. There's like this very
dickhole.
There's this very like the president of the world like has fucking kidney stones. He's gonna pass it, but if he does, he's gonna like do some sort of
it's
peace
Morgan
talk.
Freeman, and he's like, yeah, I have a kidney stone, and I don't want to pass it. We're gonna spend $100 trillion to shrink you down to the size of atoms to inside my body. and
yeah, that's exactly what it is.
And at the end, Bruce Willis is like riding it all the way down. He's like, no, we're too close to the urethra. And he's like, you go back. I'll stay here and detonate the nuke
by hand.
Yeah, it's like a one atom wide nuclear bomb. It's like,
yeah,
you go. We're too close to it. It'll cause him severe discomfort. I have to die. Tell my daughter I And then Morgan Freeman's like, excuse me.
Oh, there it is.
Sorry.
Well, that was just fine.
You never do notice a man's shoes.
What is he? And while he's all this is happening while he's driving Miss Daisy, like, why does he talk like that?
That's how he talks in every movie. I don't know.
Because I'm a Southern man.
He is. He's in prison in fucking Shawshank.
That would be a mega combination movie.
You know, we would do it for Obama.
Oh, yeah. No,
like,
it's already in the works.
Obama sprained his pinky toe. Rather than set it, because, you know, we'll have to pull it really hard and it would hurt him really bad, we're going to spend $11 trillion and send a team of astronauts.
Robot pinky.
Yeah. That's right. He gets the first cyborg pinky toe.
I am the president from the future.
At this time, the nation, for our economy, that I have a cyborg pinky toe. Ladies and gentlemen, it will allow me to jump like the $6 million man. It will actually cost $100 billion.
But it'll create jobs.
We are borrowing it from China.
Inflation.
And then when it's done, he's like, check out how I can dunk.
Check out my moves.
I was able to dunk before, but now I can do a triple flip. Shaq ain't got nothing on the president.
Now I can ball like a motherfucker.
The president is balling sufficiently. That's his address. He's like, ladies and gentlemen, the president. He's like, I want to give you status update on Operation Cyborg Pinky Toe. I am balling like a motherfucker.
The balling cost. Speaking of which, did you know that Bill Cosby was in town tonight?
No, he didn't call me. He did not call me.
He's doing a show in Frisco.
Really? Where?
Yeah, at the Dr. Pepper Star Center.
Oh,
where
shit.
The big fucking outdoor thing?
No. That's the you're thinking the hockey thing. The right there by IKEA. There's where the Dallas Stars minor league team.
Yeah.
Practices, but apparently they've upgraded it to like a much bigger thing. Yeah.
The arena. Oh, shit. That's
fucking
weird.
It's Cosby on ice.
Yeah, it's Bill Cosby on ice.
It's like big foam Cosby kid heads, like Snoopy on ice.
Yeah.
It's Bill Cosby wearing a giant Bill Cosby head.
No, it's actually the real people. It's Malcolm Jamal Warner and Rudy's there, and yeah. No.
Yeah.
I
would actually
triple axel Rudy. I'm going to land the triple spin double axle flippity flop. A Theo.
Now watch me do the triple sow cow. You see.
Is that really a move?
Yeah. Triple sow cow.
He should call the Olympics. Look at Theo on the rings. Actually, Cosby, that's Hans. From Germany. Theo is on the rings and he is hanging by the rings. Don't you know?
I don't care because this is the Cosmolympics.
No, this is actually the 2009 Summer Olympics. The Cosmolympics is a very special time for nations to get the pudding and the pudding pops. No, Mr. Cosby. And then look, here's Rudy and she's doing the gymnastics and the flippity-flap. And the judge says 10. They actually gave her a 7. And then the other judge says, gives it a bop.
Blasm.
Mr. Cosby, let's see
what the score is going to be.
All of this information is wrong. Oh, look, they gave her 100. That's not even possible. She did so good, Rudy, my beautiful daughter. Here comes Vanessa. That's actually Cho Ling from Vietnam. She did a flip.
She's from the Vietnam and the Pokemon and the...
She comes from the Pokemon and the Charizard and the Pikachu.
Pikachu and the Charizard. The Pikachu is a Pokemon disease.
Mr. Cosby, could you at least comment on her gymnastic routine? Squirtle is a turtle and he's very cute.
He's a very cute.
He's a water type Pokemon.
Like a reptile.
And you've got to catch them all.
I think we've lost.
Okay. Okay, we're done. Oh, did we lose Eli? Did we lose everybody? What the fuck? Calling him now. Doopity-doo.
This is Leo Cosby.
Yes.
I'm glad you decided to keep that going. Make sure the bit didn't end on a sour
apparently,
note.
Bill Cosby.
We're very sorry, Mortimer J. Marco ran out of ink. You see?
Apparently he's a big stockholder in Skype. And like when something like that goes down...
Pussy blog! Pussy blog!
There's a red button. Well, he is in Frisco tonight, so...
Sam bad-mousing the Cosby, pussy blog! Isn't it German, or is it Sweden? Swedish people that do this? I don't know.
Spanish.
All right, you go to the next question. I got to take a urination.
Okay. We could just keep doing Cosby while you're gone.
Now, what's the next question? Let's go.
The next question. Next question comes from Waitoaban. How can I ensure that my future niece and nephew will be geeks for life? My sister is 6 months pregnant with twin boys and girls.
Yeah, you start that. I'll be right back.
Bye. Whatever. Alex, you don't have any kids, right?
No, not.
Is there something wrong with your dick or?
Hello.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I mean, I know for a fact Eli has children somewhere, but
no, we are. We want to accomplish some things before we get into the family making, but we
You know what though? You're never going to accomplish anything. So you might as well just start making babies.
Just give it up.
Yeah.
And make the babies.
Do the Mexicans look at you weird because you don't have 10 kids?
Yeah.
That's got to be a lot of pressure.
Yeah, family members are like, so that guy's like, what's up with that? What's up with those two?
Is his dick broken? Like, I mean, we have 37 kids. What?
Do they hate kids? What's the matter with them?
You should just tell them yes.
Like, yeah, we hate children. We're terrible people. You didn't know that?
Because a kid doesn't understand, you know, pop culture at all. For a while. I mean, my daughter's over, you know, almost 2.5, and she doesn't... I can't, like, geekify her right now because she doesn't... You know,
She's not to that learning stage yet.
Yeah, what the fuck would I do? I think the best thing you can do is once they're at the, like, culture absorption level, is start showing them movies, you know? Start showing them Monty Python and Princess Bride and... The stuff that like little kids might be able to enjoy on one level, and then when they're much older, they can enjoy.
They'll appreciate it again.
Like let them watch Spaceballs when they're 8 because there's fart jokes.
Yeah,
but like then let them watch it again when they're 18 because there's like dick jokes.
Yeah,
you know there's a separation there. Oh, I hear rustling.
Hello.
Hey.
Yes.
Hey, we were just talking about how like little kids, you can't really do anything to geek them because they're too little, but. How old are your nephews?
My nephews?
Yeah.
My nephews are, let's see.
Your nephews are at that age.
10,
oh, that's
13,
right.
That's and right for 15.
So do you try to, it might be even a little late for some of them.
Do you try to, like, subversively sneak in stuff into their cultural, you know?
No, not necessarily, but they do follow by my example. So they like video games, but not... Just because they're video games, they actually understand, like, oh, you know, this is sort of what's involved. Da, da, da. They get more involved into what it takes to make things than it does, like, oh, that's awesome. You know, like, and I think that they're growing up to be that way. And
so it's
more
the tech geek side than the, like, culture geek side.
Well, that's the thing, though. Depending on how you define geek, you can geek out over anything. So
more
I think
like more like Adam Savage, less like
exactly.
Buffy, I guess more Savage, less Whedon.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, we're like
no, Eli's absolutely right when he says anyone can geek out about anything. Because all that means is that you're really into something to the point to where, you know...
But I to answer this that'll... question, the question is weighted. He's talking more like sci-fi, Whedon, that kind of stuff.
Well,
so...
I think that's part of it. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're literally like wanting to raise a small, littling child... To be like that's a start of a process that it's a long process and you have to take that into consideration. Getting them to be geeked out over those sorts of things. Like
honestly, that's certainly my goal, but the first and foremost thing about being a parent is like making sure that they're happy, healthy, fed, and then secondly, and just as important, making sure that they're engaged, like actually interacting at all times, not waiting to like, oh, my kid's stupid till they're 10. I won't pay any attention. Like, I get so fucking sick, especially around here, seeing people completely ignore their kids who are like begging for attention, begging for interaction of any kind, and seem to think that I'm weird because I'm like at the playground playing with my kid as opposed to at the playground on my phone while my kid plays.
Yeah.
Like, that shit drives me fucking nuts. And I know that the more... maybe you're a good influence, maybe you're a bad influence, but the more you're influencing your kid, the more they're going to turn out the way you intend. So, you know, I hope you have good intentions, but the more time you leave them to just figure shit out on their own, like, I don't mean they can't be independent, but I mean, like, what I witness is people that are like, all right, we're here, fucking leave me alone. Go amuse yourself for 2 hours. Don't fucking talk to me. Fucking shut up. Stop your bitching. Leave me alone. I can't stand that shit. So, you know, we're very active parents. We're very involved in, like, making sure that, you know, we're trying to rub off on her as much as possible. You know, like, we play with her at the playground, and we talk to her about things that, you know, she has questions about. I mean, she's 2, but she asks us stuff. And
you're actually interested in her life.
Right.
Not just taking care of this child, but you're actually involved in this in your child's life.
Yeah, and the
know?
Thing that we realized pretty early on is there are 2 types of parenting that I think most people consider good, and one of them I actually consider bad. And one of them is just keeping them alive and fed. Like, I see way too much of that. Like, what are you talking about? My kid's healthy? My kid goes to school. My kid's got clothes.
Yeah. He's got all the toys. Yeah, he's got an Xbox.
Yeah, but he's
what the fuck?
But he's 4 and he's an asshole.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I don't mean he's like a 4-year-old who is mischievous or whatever. I mean he's a fucking asshole. And it's because you're either being an asshole to him or not being anything to him.
And seeing what it winds down to, and you know, it's really true. We are the result of what our parents make us, and you know I wouldn't be the person I am if it weren't for my parents. I'm old enough now to look back and see the decisions they made and about me and about my life and either encouraging me or you know kind of doing you know steering me in certain directions yet giving me the freedom to choose you know my own path, et cetera, et cetera. I see all that now, and at the time, you know, you're just like, oh, whatever, you know, parents, da da da, whatever, cool. But looking back, it's like, damn, you know, that I see exactly what they did,
because I'm
looking around at other kids and other people having kids and the way they're raising their kids, and it's like, oh shit, like that's fucked.
It scares
you know?
Into having them, but I wholeheartedly agree with that. But I was kind of the opposite in that the amount I was left to figure out on my own is actually what made me who I am, because I'm very little like either of my parents. I'm nothing like my dad, and I'm very little like my mom. And because my mom, you know, kept me alive and fed and under a roof and clothed, and she was essentially a single parent. But the only thing she really tried to impart on me was Jesus, and that kind of took the place of like teaching me anything else that I might need to know, because hey, Jesus, take care of it, you know, like doesn't matter if you know how to handle anything, because you know Jesus takes care of everything. So which she taught me what she knew, and that's the main thing she knew, and it ended up just not working out that well, so I had to go find things on my own, like an interest in technology and science and sci-fi and fucking Ninja Turtles and whatever else. And music. So it's the same. It's a double-sided coin. Like you're gonna make your kids be something, either the direction you want to steer them in, or whatever they find out on their own because you're not doing anything. So I don't know.
To add to that, like, why I lean towards sci-fi and geeky stuff, I don't think there's an answer there. However, when we had minimalistic stuff to play with, and all you have is Legos and garbage and little junk here and there.
literally garbage.
Like, we ended up being, like, creative with what we had, and we're like, oh, yeah, it's a spaceship, you know? And then when you saw something on TV, you're like, it's like that piece of garbage that I have.
It's a soup can.
Spaceship. But, whatever that makes you do that, like, there's the creativeness. But that's why I was saying, like, in the Adam Savage sort of sense, like, my dad explained things like how – like electrical stuff worked or how this worked, and it became fascinating in that it's not just like, oh, hey, cool, a kite flies. I don't know why.
Wait,
and
didn't
it's
realize
pretty
that he was taking you to work and putting you to work.
Pretty much.
I mean, you didn't realize that you were like wiring white people's houses.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I was like,
he was
this
just
is
hanging
fun
out with his dad.
That was family time.
This is like a game. Yeah, you need to go check the master bedroom because your connections aren't hooked up. Right?
this is like a game as long as you don't cross that red wire right there.
How many houses have burned down because of your handiwork? Because
of my wiring?
Yeah, because of your learning, because of your bonding experiences.
I can't tell you how many times I walked away like from a job with my dad when we were, you know, earning summer money, and I'm like, boy, I sure hope I did
actually,
that right.
Every job you left was like an Antonio Banderas movie where you and your dad are walking towards the camera. The house blows up behind you and you don't even flinch.
Yeah, you just kind of keep walking. Just
instead
keep
of guitars, you've got toolboxes, like wire cutters.
Yeah.
His that cool was fun, guys dad. Ignore explosions.
That was awesome. But to directly answer that question and then to move on, I do plan to try to steer my daughter towards geekier interests. I want her to at least pick an instrument and play it, because I think it helps people to be creative if they play at least one instrument. So I'm not going to force her to pick one that I like, but I'm going to make sure that she's exposed to enough of them that, I mean, right now she is completely like in love with my piano, my guitars. She tells me that one of the guitars is mine, the other one's hers. I mean, so she's going to grow up with music. She's going to pick an instrument, you know, eventually, and I want to help her explore that however she wants to. But at the same time, I am going to say, hey, you're about 10 years old. It's time to come sit down and watch Star Trek. And if it doesn't stick, it doesn't. But if it does, let's share this together. This was important to me. I want to share it with you. And even if you don't like it, I hope you will at least like the time that we're spending together.
That's what you need to start early. And you need to start that, you know, getting that, creating that routine or that habit of like, oh, I'm going to watch TV. I'm going to watch some crazy TV show. I'm going to watch some crazy movie with dad.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So that way you will always be like, hey, you want to watch this? Let's watch this. And it's like, all right, let's do it. You
know, a really good guide to geek parenting, I think, is if you follow any posts that Will Wheaton makes about parenting. I don't know if he tags them or anything, but, you know, his stepsons are like 13 and 18 right now, but I was reading his blog probably 5 years ago and watching him like have trouble getting him to accept him as his stepdad and then slowly but surely come around to where he really started like, it's not like I'm going to make you be what I want, but it's like they don't care that he was on Star Trek because he's just a guy, and so that, you know, that might be cool, but it's not like they're not starstruck by their stepdad, you know? But every once in a while he's posting like, holy shit, the kids have never seen Blazing Saddles. We're going to watch it together. And I know that it's not like let's all plop down in front of a TV, but it's sort of like this mattered to me. This helped shape my sense of humor. You know, it shaped my worldview and what I think is funny. And I want to share it with you. And the more you can do that, geek or not, I think the better off your kids are going to end up. But at the same time, at the right ages, I do plan on being like, okay, let's crack out the Buffy DVDs. Let's watch the Firefly. Let's, you know, continue your education. But
yeah.
Yeah, in the end, it just comes down to really you'd like to steer them that way, but whatever they want to do, as long as it's the right thing to do in the sense of, like, if that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do. Like,
Daddy's going
to
drink a bottle of whiskey, baby. Come hold it for me.
My older nephew
loves games. He loves, like, geeky sci-fi stuff, but he really got into sports. He's a really good soccer player, and he dropped out of band, and my brother was all like, oh, bummer. Like, I really was hoping he'd stick in band, but that's his choice, and he's really good at soccer, and God, I don't know.
God bless Texas.
God bless Texas. But I don't know. If he gets, like, a athletic scholarship out of it, great. Awesome. But right. Whatever, you know. It's no, what he wanted
that
to
sucks.
Do. In the end. So, and he's really good at it, but he still likes geeky stuff, you know. It's just added on to, you know, it's something he likes, and he likes to geek out over that. So, I mean, I think that's cool.
Word. Next question.
Boom.
Let's see. Do. This is from Dream Rock. This is a good one, but I feel like I'm not going to be able to come up with a good answer. Is there anything you hated the first time you saw it or listened to, but later decided it was the most awesome thing ever?
Oh, shit. I have, like, lots of those.
Movie, shows, audio.
Interesting. Yes.
Buffy. We've talked about this before, but I think Buffy's the default, where I thought Buffy was for, like, stupid teenage girls and then loved
Buffy,
it.
But... Yeah, Buffy's a good, like, default to go to. Let's see. Something you hated the first time you saw it. But then ended up liking it. Trying to think if there's got to be something on HBO or Showtime that.
Well, go further back. Like, what about things that you saw younger? Maybe you didn't get them, or you weren't smart enough to get that they were funny or something.
Sex in the City.
Shut up.
You watched that, didn't you?
Yeah, because
you actually like that. What's wrong with you? That's worse than Josh.
Actually, you know, I'm surprised. I was surprised. I loathe even the idea of that show.
And then you grew a vagina?
And
you poured a martini in it?
And it grew, like, and it blossomed.
Into a beautiful flower vagina.
It's mostly New York humor, really. I mean, a lot of the storylines and stuff are built around stuff that goes on in New York, and it's not so much about, you know, it just happens to be four girls, you know, that are the main characters. That's really what it is. All the packaging and all the way it's promoted and the way it comes off, that obnoxious, just, ugh, that fucking just trite filth.
Yeah.
It's not actually true. It's being amped as to reach a broad audience. You know, one of those things. You know, that happens to a lot of things where it's like, yeah, check it out. It's so the shit. And it's like, no, it's not really. It's not a madcap, stupid idiot, you know, fart joke movie. It's actually a pretty sophisticated comedy, you know. That happens, that type of thing. So, but
I've heard the same thing. Like, I can't say I've seen maybe like some episode, like one or two episodes here and there, and I was like, that actually was pretty well written. I mean, like,
yeah, it's like all of a sudden you're like, oh shit, that was actually kind of tolerable, you know?
I'll admit to it, but then. It's, you know, not like I'm like, oh man, I got to go find some more of that. But
we've talked about this before.
Like,
but
oh my God,
shows
they're
advertised wrong. You think you're going to hate them, like Arrested Development,
exactly.
Sunny in Philadelphia. Seeing those commercials, I'm like, this looks like the worst shit I've ever seen.
That's my perfect primetime example. Is It's Always Sunny?
Yeah,
in Philadelphia.
There was not a single thing about the way they advertised that show that made me. It not only made me not watch it. It made me think it's going to be terrible.
Yeah, it made me think it was a piece of shit. Like, oh wow, another piece of shit FX show.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and the fact that it was on FX did not help.
Yeah, it's like,
it really
didn't
help. It's like my perception of it ahead of time. But having watched it, it was like the best show on TV. I wouldn't watch 30 Rock because it came on. It was launched the same season with Studio 60, and I'm like, are you fucking with me? They're making two shows about making SNL?
Yes.
Two at the same time? And one's a drama and one's a comedy on the same network? You're fucking with me. And so I'm like, I'm not going to watch either of them. And then I watch 30 Rock, and I'm like, oh, holy shit.
30 Rock is so fucking badass. We got it off of Netflix over the Xbox, over the old Xbox, and instant streaming.
Xbox
and
here.
It's like, it's all of season one. Boom, there it is, all 26 episodes.
God, kills. Kills.
We've just been tearing through it, and it's so great.
Wait, are you? So you're still going through it?
Yeah.
And you're on season one?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Season two steps up the game. Season two steps up their game so far. It's like instead of laughing every 30 seconds, you don't stop and you can't breathe during the entire episode. It's so great.
Yes.
Especially when they completely abandon the premise of making the show. When they completely,
and just go off on tangents.
Yeah, they completely stop talking about making the show and just go off on like Tracy being a fucking nut. Oh, yeah. My God. By the way, he was our waiter at Chili's. Me, Josh, and my wife went to Chili's, and Tracy Jordan was our waiter.
Oh, I heard about that.
He looked exactly like him. And, like, he walks away, and my wife goes, Liz Lemon, I'm too rich! And what did he say? I'm too young and too rich to be waiting tables, or something like that. But, yeah, he looked, and he had the same beard and everything. It was freaking as hell.
Oh, wow.
And,
Oh, go ahead.
Wait, I think I forgot. Oh, yeah, and we were trying to figure it out, but we think he was telling us that he was going to get high. Like, he comes
I'm
over.
Gonna get high.
Seriously, he was like, how you guys doing? And we're like, oh, we're doing good. He goes, yeah, it's a relaxed day, but I ain't relaxed yet, but I'm going to get relaxed. Anyway, what's your order? I'm like, are you gonna get high right now, or can we get our food first? Or
I'm going to go rape a joint.
.com, Grizz.
Let's go. I'm going to take that girl up behind the gym and get her pregnant.
Watch 30 Rock.
I'm trying to, but see, the question is, what did we watch the first time?
It's
hated it.
I'm adjusting the question
because I can't
think of anything.
I can't think of anything other than,
you know,
like,
I thought Terminator 3 was a letdown. I've seen it probably four times since then. I actually kind of like it. I actually enjoy watching
it
now.
You've seen it four times?
Terminator 3?
Yeah, because it comes on TV all the time.
The one with the chick?
The one with Claire Danes?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're wrong.
I started enjoying it.
You're wrong. You were wrong,
it's
sir.
It's a good action movie. I kind of like the guy that plays John, and I like Claire Danes.
Did you grow a vagina? That movie's dumb.
No, I think it's pretty good. It's not great, but it's entertaining.
Man, you're going to think fucking the fourth one
I may
is
never
the fucking
see that.
Coming of Christ.
Oh, man.
I may never see that. And then, there was something else right on the fucking tip of my tongue.
Tip of the tongue.
The exact opposite happened for at least the first two Star Wars movies. Because I walked out of those in the middle of all the hype and everything of the prequels. Going like, yeah, fuck yeah, Star Wars! And then, like, a few months later, I'm like, wait, what? What happened? Like, what the fuck?
Well, that was,
you know?
Because your Star Wars gland kicked in, and by default, those enzymes or cells or whatever get kicked out, and they go into the brain. You don't have a choice.
Yeah, the midichlorians definitely start affecting your brains,
and you have really no say in the matter. Your body just reacts.
Honestly, I was also excited for the last one, at least for the months leading up to it.
I made a shirt.
I walked out of it like, what the fuck? But leading up to it, I was like, oh, fuck yeah! I'm like, oh, you're the chosen one! Ah! Like, oh, I can't wait!
I walked out of that going, no!
Yeah, it was pretty bad. And also with Superman, I walked out of Superman Returns thinking it was really, really good.
Yeah.
And then, like, 2 days later, I was like, wait a second.
Wait a minute.
Well, I didn't like that at all. Why had that tricked me? I was like a really dumb school bully that, like, just got, you know, tricked by the smart kid into not beating him up. And I'm like, you tricked me! I'm Smash! Not fair! I'm dumb! Let's see. We're just about an hour. We got 30 minutes to go. We should be able to get through most of these. Covered Wagon Kid. I'm sure you guys had a nerdgasm over the iPhone 3GS. Have you seen any press on the Palm Pre?
Fuck the Pre.
Are we all? I mean, I've already ordered my 3GS. Anybody
I know
else?
That there's really no point in pre-ordering or any of that crap. You just go and get it.
Yeah, I'm just going to get one when I
no,
get
I mean,
around to
it. I ordered it, and it'll be here on launch day. Like, I don't have to go to the store. It'll be at my house.
Oh.
Like, they're cool. Delivering it in a couple of days, and they have to keep... It's like a video game. They have to keep it at the post office.
Really think that's going to happen?
That's their deal.
I guess.
Their contract with America is that if you order this, it will be delivered on the 19th. I'm like, fuck yeah, why the fuck do I want to go to the store?
Huh. Yeah, I'll be picking up one of those, but as far as the Palm Pre goes, my cat takes more interesting shits than I care about that.
The tech community is really excited about it because Palm pretty much ate itself and was
going
to go away. And, you know, they invented the handset, basically. The first, you know, PDA, and then really the first phone device was one of the handsprings, and then the Trio. But they completely abandoned their OS, which was really all they had at that point. And now they're just going to make hardware. And I don't know, people are super excited. I think because it has a keyboard, which honestly,
yeah,
I don't
slides open. It's the size of like a BlackBerry almost, but then it slides up. The face
and
slides
it's curvy.
Up. Yeah, it reveals the keyboard underneath. And
is it ribbed?
For her pleasure, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, so I guess we don't want to talk about that. Eddie says, "What? This is weird. This is a weird one, Eddie. Eddie, understand that you are weird. What animal do you predict will be the one to rise up against humanity? And we are not, again, this is not the machines. Animal.
Probably penguins, because they have those clever-looking tuxedos.
Right, and we might assume that they know what they're doing because they look like they're smartly dressed.
Right, well, they look like they always have a problem walking until it turns out that they fucking, like, can fly.
If they're concealing flight. It's
right,
the dolphins.
This whole time.
Wait. What? No, it's the dolphins. So long and thanks for all the fish.
They don't. What are they going to do? Like, flap around on the shore while we run away?
They're biding their time. Biding their sweet, dangerous dolphin time.
No, I don't buy that. They may be intelligent, but I'm sure they don't know how to fucking...
They're like cyclops out of those fucking blowholes. They will shoot lasers at you.
I can operate a car. I'd like to see a dolphin do that.
I don't need one.
I say Sasquatch.
Sasquatch. That's a good one. That's a good answer.
It's actually true. That's why they hide so well.
They are mounting an all-front attack on the human race. They've been working on this in the cover of Heavy Woods. In the wilderness.
On Endor?
Yes.
Those are baby Sasquatch. Baby Sass.
Baby Sass.
I wouldn't be surprised if in Canada, Sasquatches are literally just walking around. They're like, hey! Hey there, Sasquatch!
And if you were to go, oh my god, it's a Sasquatch! Like, no, what? That's Ed. What are you talking about?
Harry Ed. Hey, Harry Ed. Like, that's a fucking monkey man! Like, no. No, that's a monkey man! No,
you're flipping your lid.
He owns the burger joint up the street there, eh?
That's Ed.
No.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
I wonder if Sasquatch have, like, mechanics and butchers, you know, and stuff like that.
No, they shit in the woods, Eli. They don't have cars. They eat game that they kill with their hands, their powerful hands, and then they shit in the woods.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying Canadians ignore them.
So typically they're restaurateurs. or attorneys.
Yeah,
right.
Sure. Why not? You've got attorney a Sasquatch at... attorney.
Sasquatch, attorney at law.
My defense.
Sasquatch.
We will fight for your rights. At Sasquatch and Sasquatch and Sasquatch. Do you have mesothelioma? Were you exposed to asbestos on the job? And then there's a guy in the back literally just tearing up the set.
Call me. I'm the Bigfoot. The Texas Bigfoot.
I will foot and foot and foot for your rights. My feet are big. He's got the plaster cast of his foot, and he's smashing it against the desk. I will smash and smash until you win what's coming to you.
Breaks it with his head. His head butts it.
This is what I will do for your rights. And then, like, the final, the whole commercial's blurry. I swear I'm here. We photographed bad.
Wow.
Whatever. Okay, I believe you, Sasquatch. This is from... Let me read this. This is from Senior Face Kick. He says, Joel is a certified tea steeper, henna tattoo artist, uncertified accountant, internet fetcher. I've done all those things. What sort of summer job career advice would you give for a teenager looking for work for the summer?
Turning tricks.
Tricks, really?
Yeah.
Hand jobs at the bus station?
Yeah, at the mall.
If you want a party. Do teenagers really give a shit? I watched a teenager get a job about a month or two ago. I was at Starbucks.
Get a hand job? What?
Yeah, get a hand job. No. I was at Starbucks working a couple of months ago, and this kid walks in, and he knew the manager of Starbucks. He's like, hey, man. He's like, oh, what's up, bro? He's like, hey, you know, can I get a job here? And he's like, oh, no, man, we're all full up, but I think the marble slab next door is hiring. He's like, no shit. And he's like, yeah, I know the guy. You want me to ask him? He's like, fuck yeah. And, like, the guy walks over and comes back and goes, okay, cool. You can work there. And I'm like, did you just, what? Like, he walks over and he's like, hey, there's a kid over there and he has arms and he has a head and he wants a job. And they're like, does he have arms? He's like, I said he has arms. Does he have a head? And he's like, yeah, he's got a head.
Is it a real head?
It's no, not like that last guy. I know.
Does he have real eyes? None of this glass eye shit.
Got a real head. Can he scoop ice cream? And he's like, yes. Okay, he can work here.
No glass eyes.
And the guy was like this little emo poser kid with like his bangs in his eyes and like, you know, perfectly like coiffed giant melon hair head, emo hair and like
human waste field.
And the guy just got him an ice cream job, you know, like so he's gonna be disappointing people with ice cream for the next few months. But I don't know. I mean, the teenagers don't really give a shit where they work, I guess.
Work at the movie theater.
What are the upsides? Free movies?
None, really. Actually, They're the worst because you'll work every holiday.
Okay.
If there's any holiday in the summer, the theater does not close.
Movies are always open.
They're open late. And you'll end up seeing just about everybody you know from school there. Because that's where everybody goes.
You won't
be
able to hang out because you're working.
Right, exactly. So, go for it.
You're exiled amongst everyone because you have to do this job, you know? And it's like...
Yeah, I was always like that. Everyone could fucking play and I had to work. That sucks. Here, there's my advice. Don't get a fucking job until you have to.
Yeah, I mean, if you want money, though, to, like, buy some games.
Summer jobs, always. Summer jobs. Summer jobs.
Yeah, I mean, get some work experience, but don't work while you're in high school.
No, because you got to do other shit during high school.
Do without. Have fun. Jesus Christ. Get laid. Don't work.
If you have to work, though, like, do something like, I don't know, like if there's like a... Like, we have, what, movie trading company? Like, a place that just sells movies and DVDs? Like, you want to work, like, a place there that you can, like,
that
find
is true.
At least, reap the benefits.
The biggest benefits you could have are discount. So go to a place that you want to shop. Least amount of responsibility possible. And flexible hours. And if it could at all possibly be a topic you are even slightly interested in, for instance, movie trading company... Or a GameStop or whatever. Because every job sucks. And any place that will hire teenagers, the job is going to fucking suck. Because that means their standards are low and a monkey could do it.
And it's going to be a lot of shit to do.
Yeah, and it's going to be mostly shit work. I mean, any place that will hire teenagers knows they're going to be replacing their entire staff every 3 months. So it cannot be that fucking hard, you know? And they can't have very high expectations. So, like, work at a mall so you get a full mall discount, or work really close to home so you don't have to worry about fucking a commute when you're a teenager.
Like an audio video store or something, like where you can get an iPhone at a discount.
Don't work for your dad.
What did this turn into the life lessons hour?
I don't know, man. He asked.
All right, kids, what you got to do? You got to get your stocks and your bonds. Your portfolio into
I was in a rush to grow up, and I would urge every teenager not to try to grow up too fast, because as soon as you move out and as soon as you're on your own, It gets real fucking hard. So enjoy not living like that while you can. That's all I'm saying. And then go work at Movie Trading Company, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, do it.
Let's see. Next question. This is funny because she's not here. This is from Sean. Over the course of the podcast, Denise has gone from, guys, you can't say the word shit, to motherfuckers fucking pissing me off and such. Is this the influence of the guys, or has she always been like this?
Always.
I would say it's the times that she's done that, she's drunk because she's a lush. She's really an alcoholic, if you want to get specific.
Always been, always will.
And the times that she's not like that are there just the rare, lucid, just the occasional moments of lucidity. You know, if we know in advance, we can get Eli to sober her up before the show. I mean, right now she's in Betty Ford. She's actually getting help right now. So,
at Betty Ford?
Yeah. I mean, you know, more
power
to
her. Betty Ford's still alive?
You're thinking of Betty White, and yes, she is. But
no. Oh, yeah, that's right.
No, we have a few Golden Girls left. Just a few.
So Denise is shacking up with Amy Winehouse as we speak.
Oh, yeah, no. They want to send her back to rehab, she says.
Try to make me go to rehab.
She said, fuck off.
She didn't say anything. She started throwing furniture. She's a danger to herself and to everyone around her.
We're praying for her.
I'm not. I have no hope. Look, all I'm saying is sell my DVD player once, shame on you. Sell it twice, shame on me. Not letting her.
That sound like it goes?
Yes.
Hello.
Can't be fooled again. Second question from Sean. Given the unlimited amount of money, what is a semi-realistic but super luxury type item that you would buy? Private plane.
Sasquatch,
okay. Private plane, et cetera, et cetera.
Trouble bubble?
A trouble bubble?
Yeah, I have the specs on that. I could have one
made.
How
does that come up every episode?
Come on.
Because they're really...
Fucking trouble bubble.
They're really useful. Think about it.
Oh my god.
It is what it says.
You're sitting on the crapper and then you take off.
Yours would actually convert from a bidet to a treble bubble.
Well, it is called a treble bubble.
Oh, okay.
I think Josh would agree that
there is trouble happening in the bubble.
I think that's what he calls his toilet, the treble bubble.
Well, we do from now on at least.
Well, I think it's the treble bowl, but then it quickly turns into the treble bubble.
Like quickly and violently.
Right. It just launches. And then it takes off.
But see, none of that's on purpose.
Well, whatever.
He's not actually going off after G.I. Joe. He's
nobody's forcing him to eat Taco Bell.
Having emergencies.
Or Taco Bueno.
He's having potty emergencies.
I would not want a private plane because you gotta get a pilot for it.
I want a general plane.
A general plane? What?
Sorry.
What are you talking about? Oh, never mind. That was bad.
Wow.
Can I shun you on the podcast? Is there a button I can press to shun you?
Is there a shock button? Is that what this thing's for? Yes.
Put that electrode on your tongue. There you go.
I fall alive. Oh, shit.
That's hard to say, man.
I don't want
a big ass house because I think about all the realistic shit, like about having to take care of it and the electric bill.
Oh, whatever. I'd want two bowling lanes in my house.
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
I actually want that. I had it priced out. It's the
like
same cost of getting
$100,000.
It's like the same cost of getting a swimming pool put into your house.
Also, and you need a house that has like a 30 feet wide space that's not being used.
Well, if you have the space to do it, cost. There's a place online that will say, hey, we'll come out to your house and like spec the whole thing out. And the price is like the same as getting a swimming pool.
Swimming pools are ridiculous.
They are ridiculous. That's why I was like, I might as well get something
Anyone
safe.
That would look at their situation and go, yeah, I got 30 grand to put a hole in my backyard that I'll never fucking use. That's crazy.
I'd rather put in like an underground bunker in place of a pool.
Like a fallout shelter?
But not so much for actually protecting me from fallout, but just to have the fucking secret room in
like
the fucking buried backyard. Hey, let's go down there and hang out. And,
I'm
you know,
so fucking bitter that
out.
We don't have basements here because I want a basement so bad.
That's what,
hey,
that's
we
my,
have...
I went into my first basement in Massachusetts, the first one I've ever set foot in, and I'm like, okay, it's like a completely other house. It's like an apartment under your house, and it's awesome. I want to live here.
Well, in Texas,
that's
you
what
have
a lot of guys do. They end up staying in their mom's basements because it's so cool.
That's a sweet deal, bro.
They're like, why would I leave?
in Texas, you have the Frodo Baggins-like basements.
No,
did you not? Did you ever see Rick's basement? Or it's not a basement. It's a, they call it a Texas basement.
The Hobbit
like
hole.
Yeah, it's like a super strong room. Like
it's not a basement if it's not underground and it's just in your house. That's just That's just a room.
They call it a Texas basement because the room is only. It's like a John Malkovich room.
Yeah, it is.
Because it's only half the size. Like it's a really small ceiling. You have to like duck and squat in there, but it's reinforced around the house so that. If there was a tornado or something crazy happens, you can go in that room and if,
die.
Like, it'll protect you from the house.
That's the coffin.
Listen,
room.
Yeah, that's the coffin. When the house collapses around that room, that's your coffin. That's where
then you take
die.
This. Then you take this nail gun and you seal in the door. You see,
right? And then you kill yourself with it because you're going to die in there.
I'm surprised you didn't see that when you were over at Rick's.
I did.
Oh, I've the little hobbit room. You know what I'm talking about.
I do. I'm just saying it's in no way a basement in any fashion, form, or anything.
Good.
It's a secret room in a house above ground.
Right.
Okay. But that
it's
would
Frodo
be cool,
Baggins.
Though. I want one of those. Okay. We got anything else?
Frodo.
Okay, next. I guess I'd get a hobbit. Like a hobbit slave.
No.
Like in a gold
slave.
Bikini.
Yeah, like a hobbit slave, like an actual hobbit, but he has to like do my shit work, like my own little Samwise.
So he's gay.
He'd be like, Mr. Joel, I did the backups on all your computers, and now I'm gonna go dust your blinds. And I'm like, that's all right, cool, Sam.
Would you like me to produce your podcast?
Yeah, I've cleaned all your microphones, Mr. Joel, and now I'm going to go flog myself for being bad. I'm like, yeah, it's great, whatever.
Yeah,
I mean,
whatever.
Thoughts.
I don't give a shit.
Mash him up.
A house
stir
elf.
Him up, put him in a stew.
You need a house elf.
Yeah, I do need a house elf. The constant self-abuse with those things, though, I don't think I could... I think that would be more distracting than anything else. Speaking of, I've been listening to the Harry Potter audiobooks.
Oh, yeah, how's that going?
With
Are
Jim
you
Dale. Oh, my God. Like... The movies, I just like, yeah, this is good. I like this. This is, you know, it's good fantasy, I guess. It's kind of whatever. But I enjoyed them. After like the third one, I started to, you know, I enjoyed them pretty good. And so I downloaded the audiobooks, the whole series, read by Jim Dale. It's fucking fascinating. Like now I understand why everybody went apeshit. Yeah, now I get it.
It's I compare it on the level of a Tolkien.
Oh, absolutely. No, it's definitely modern-day Tolkien because...
It's amazing.
It's an epic... It's not just a story. It's an epic universe. This woman somehow created an entire believable universe with, like, alternate rules. Yeah, with alternate rules to our own that every character, minor or major, is fleshed out. Every character is believable. The story, even though the story arc is written for children, and if you don't have it figured out within like the first couple of chapters, you're dumber than a child, it's still the journey is so interesting. Like, if you don't know someone named Sirius Black is the black dog, because Sirius Black means black dog.
Right.
Like, you're a moron. But at the same time...
But for
time,
the kids, it's like, oh, bad
it's a good, it's a good mystery. You know, it's a good kid mystery, but... The journey to get to that result is so well done that I'm not saying it's like fucking Shakespeare. I'm saying that as far as like modern fiction, it is extremely well crafted. It really is. And
phenomenal.
I actually have found myself like I'll only listen to it while I'm working. I can't listen to it while I'm writing because it's too distracting. But I find myself like really, really anxious to get back into it. Like, oh shit, I gotta get back in there and finish book three. Like it's like I'm gonna be sad when it's over.
I could see old man Riley from the amusement park.
It is. It those fucking kids.
If it weren't for you pesky kids meddling around, snooping.
Seeing those movies, you're like
doing the marijuana.
And then reading their books.
Smoking
later,
the dope.
You realize why those movies are a little bit too hard to make.
Giving each other blowjobs.
Exactly. Never mind. I'm done. Touching each other's wieners. You fucking kids.
Messing around with each other's dangly parts.
I don't know if anybody has been following my Twitter while I've been listening to this, but every time they say something hypersexual, I've been posting it. Like, every once in a while, it's like, Ron beat his wand furiously across Harry's face. And I'm like, yes!
Yeah. Like, oh, boy.
Malfoy's wand was stuck in his hand, and he shook it as hard as he could. Come on! How?
And by wand, I mean penis.
And he's talking about his magical dong. There's a lot of that, man. There was literally that was facing Harry's face, Ron, you know, whipped his wand furiously side to side while Harry opened his mouth slightly to catch the delicious wand juice. Like,
to receive
there's a lot of innuendo. I know what she's talking about. Now I understand why there's so much gay slash for Harry Potter, because it's all right there on the page. And she spells it out for you.
They just copy and paste into their comic.
Okay, not only is it a really, really, really well done set of books, just from a writing standpoint and a story craft standpoint, Jim Dale reading it is a fucking master. He has a completely different voice and personality for every single character and really brings them to life. Like, you're completely engrossed in the world. It's better than the movies, way better than the movies. Not just because there's more, but like as a fiction experience, he's acting better than the actors in the movies. Like, he does, his women sound like women, his fucking, you know, all of his characters, he switches them so quickly that you're like, holy shit, am I watching a one-man show? Like, what the fuck is going on, you know? So if anybody has not heard those, I strongly recommend them. I've heard good things about the British version, too. I can't remember the guy's name that reads those, but the Jim Dale version is fucking fantastic. He is apparently the narrator for Pushing Daisies, too.
Hmm.
So, anyway. I don't know why I started that. This is a question from Minchie. I've been watching Carl Sagan's Cosmos again, and it got me thinking, if the Voyager probes were sent up now, what music would you put in them as opposed to what it has now?
Sasquatch.
Sasquatch music? Sasquatch, yeah. By Tenacious D?
Yeah.
Not the new one. Not the one that's on that fucking soundtrack to that shitty movie. The original Sasquatch that they never recorded. You ever heard that version?
Of course.
Sasquatch, I Know Your Love Is Real?
Yeah.
I love that song.
From the TV series.
Yeah, well, the Leonard Nimoy Sasquatch.
Yeah.
In Search Of.
Yeah, it was a kick.
Guess In Search Of. So good. So yeah, some Tenacious D. Sabotage
Zeppelin.
By the Beastie Boys.
Some kind of Led Zeppelin and or Pink Floyd.
Oh, I can't stand it. The aliens would be like, this fucking rocks. We should go party with those Earthlings. We should go party with them.
They show up with backwards caps and baggy pants and like, yeah, oh wait,
because they're from the
mid
90s.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so then some Run DMC. Straight Outta Compton.
I'd say like Public Enemy.
Public Enemy, okay. Fight
with
the Power.
Some, PM Dawn.
PM Dawn, sure. Arrested Development, Tennessee. Take me to another place. Take me to another land.
That's the terrible. Spin Doctors.
Spin Doctors, Two Princes, Pocket Full of Kryptonite.
Oh, well then in that case,
Four Non Blondes, What's Going On?
Yeah, if we're gonna do that.
What's going on?
And I said, hey!
That really defines it. That defines
in that case, you got to have some CNC Music Factory.
Yeah, everybody dance now.
Everybody explore space now. Bow, bow, wow, wow, wow.
Oh, and Cherry Pie.
Oh, and the Chicka Chippa song. Chicka Chicka. Do bow, bow, bow. Oh, yeah. You know, do bow, bow. Is that what Charlie say? Day Bow Bow. What's Day Bow Bow? You know, the song from all the 80s movies. Day Bow Bow. Chicka Chicka. Oh, beautiful.
Did you guys see the video of them from a local Philadelphia Fox affiliate where they're interviewing Danny DeVito, Charlie,
and he's drunk,
and he's fucking shit-faced drinking a beer?
I haven't watched
on camera. It's awesome.
No, I did have to go find that. Sounds good.
Yeah. Great.
So is that all the best music ever? I mean, you Spin Doctors and Day Bow Bow.
Ace of Base.
The Sign, absolutely. Absolutely.
I put in some Robert Palmer, you know.
Hall & Oates, Maneater.
Simply Irresistible. Oh, and then you got to put in some fucking Gonna Go Back in Time.
Some Huey Lewis.
Got to do a little bit of that.
And the the Huey Lewis song from Oliver & Company. Why should I worry? Why should I care? Remember that one?
No.
No, that's good. Oliver & Company. Look it up. No. Learn something. Learn some culture.
What the hell's that?
It's an animated movie.
Is that
the
like
80s.
Driving Miss Daisy?
No, it's an animated movie from when I was 7.
Well, whatever.
It was an animated movie. Well, that was terrible.
What was that supposed to be? Was that like Forrest Gore? Who was that?
Forrest Gore.
Al Gump. Forrest Gump. 7 years ago. That's terrible. That was your Lincoln. Every song played on both Bill and Ted movies. Speaking of Lincoln.
Sure.
And Rocky Amadeus. Putting on the Ritz by Taco.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Taco. And I missed Rains Down in Africa by Toto.
Yeah. That should confuse.
That should keep them the fuck away. That should keep them from invading us, right? They'd come nowhere near here.
They're like, no way, dude. No. And I Touch Myself by
Cindy Lauper. Axel F.
What's his face?
I'd put the Simon and Simon theme song on there.
Well, you might as well just have Heart to Heart with
Heart to Heart theme song
with so like the,
and
Ernest
this is Bortnine. Mrs. Hart and
yeah,
she's
Ernest Bortnine.
Beautiful. MASH theme
it'd
song.
Be like a knife.
MASH theme song.
I am Ernest Bordenine.
But with the lyrics.
Suicide is painless.
Or whatever. The Cheers theme song.
No.
Perfect
That's
Strangers theme song. Step by Step theme song.
Oh, Alf. Alf would be a good one.
Was there a theme song to Alf?
Theme song.
Oh, God.
Saxophones were cool in the 80s.
That's awesome. That really is everything we have to offer from a cultural standpoint. I mean, there's nothing by Bach or Chopin, anything that would stand up to the Night Court theme song.
Yeah,
pretty much.
I mean, they had Bull.
So. No, yeah. I mean, and what's Bach got? Deafness? No. I don't know. Was he deaf? I don't know. That's Mozart. Maybe. But we've already got Mozart covered with Rock Me Amadeus. So
yeah, sure, whatever.
That was his best song. Mozart. That was really. I don't understand why they even put other songs on his best stuff besides Rock Me Amadeus.
Oh yes, the Great American Hero theme song. Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
What's that song from the 80s with the video with all the robots and it's just like beeps and boops?
What?
What?
Every song from the 80s?
I can't back that up. I can see the video in my head. There's like, you know, there's mannequins with robot legs and shit.
Oh.
You're talking about
Herbie
Rocket.
Hancock.
Yes.
Yeah, Rocket. Herbie Hancock.
Rocket. Yes.
Doot, 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 Time by Chuck Corea.
One More Time. That one?
No.
Oh.
No.
It's an, Numa
it's
Numa
sort
Numa
of
song?
An inside joke.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an inside band geek joke.
Oh, okay, so anything by Tower of Power.
And it's all cut to a video of like those Jesus guys that break like stuff for Jesus.
Well, the Power Team.
Yeah, oh. this whole playlist that we just made up is all
the whole mashup that we've just done.
Yeah,
the greatest music that Earth has to offer.
Spyro Gyra's entire catalog.
Okay, I will see your Spyro Gyra, and I will raise you Spandau Ballet.
Oh yes.
Yes,
yes. Well played, Master General.
Well
played. See. Well done.
99 Luftballons.
99 Luftballons.
That's the only part anybody knows.
Yeah, I guess you got to throw in Come On Eileen at that point.
Okay, oh, Dexys Midnight Runners, the ugliest band ever, wearing overalls
anything,
on the docks.
Yeah, anything from 16 Candles.
Or anything 16 Candles soundtrack.
Anything that was played in 16 Candles.
Okay, the whole soundtrack then. What's the song in the Breakfast Club where they're all freaking out and like partying? And throwing cheese at statues and stuff.
Cheese.
Never mind.
Oh my god! I'm like, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
What about You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet? Nothing yet.
Well, then you might as well add in Taking Care of Business.
Okay. Okay.
We've been taking care of business.
God damn! There's a lot of terrible songs. Why are there so many bad fucking songs?
Night and day, taking care of business.
Whoever. Anything by Michael W. Smith.
Shit. Then you got to edit some. What's from 40-Year-Old Virgin?
What's his name? Michael. What's his name? I forgot his name. Michael McDonald.
Yeah, Michael McDonald.
Oh, he's terrible. The gambler. You need the gambler in there.
Yeah, I guess you gotta add in a little.
Well, Kenny. You
gotta know when to hold him, fold him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Meatloaf. Meatloaf.
Well, he's only got the one song.
What are you talking about?
Oh my god. Okay, do you watch House?
Sometimes.
On their most recent season of House, Meatloaf was one of the guest stars. Or you know, he was the patient.
They find a piece of meatloaf.
Listen,
in
dude. Both him and his wife were dying. Okay, and at one point meatloaf in poisoned. The show, Meatloaf has to make a decision to let his wife die to save his life, or for them both to die. And me and my wife are just sitting on the edge of the fucking couch, going, "Do it, do it, do the song,
then,
do the song,
and then
just fucking do it, just start playing." And now we're doing nothing. They never fucking played it. And I'm like, you are kidding me. Goddamn, Meatloaf is on the screen. He could do anything for love, but he won't do that, and you're not going to play the fucking song.
They didn't even do like a really light piano.
No.
Melody.
Oh my god, it ruined my day.
I can already picture that. Like, he's laying in bed.
No!
And like he's laying in bed thinking about it. And then there's like there's like a side profile of him in a little cloud over his head with like a spotlight on him. He's like, just like, yeah, he's like in front of a piano.
That. No, Crying, Amazing, and Crazy off of Get a Grip by Aerosmith.
Oh shit! You
I was crying
bastard.
When I left you. It's you amazing bastard. Just to get you.
They would put that in a time capsule.
Oh, they should. They should put it in a time capsule and never open it again.
just for good measure, I'd probably throw in Metallica's One.
That's actually just a good because. Song, though.
No, it's not a good song.
It is a good song.
It was back then.
It's still it. It still
will
rocks.
Never die.
It still rocks.
Bulletproof.
No, it's not.
That is. It is a truly. That will last forever. Yeah. That might actually that's convince the only them thing of our they power. Got.
What are you talking about? No, we're not even going to get into this conversation.
Okay, we'll not do... Panic Fan in the Ride the Lightning. Is correct. Kajagoogoo. You are too... Shy, I just want to...
I hate that fucking song.
That's why it goes in the capsule. It's a good one. The aliens.
Oh, and anything by Gloria Estefan.
Oh,
ooh,
my sound machine.
She can play those congas.
Bam! Horns! Bam!
Ow! Bam! Okay.
She's terrible.
Oh, and Cocoa Butter, whatever that guy's name was. They used to make fun of him on
Saturday. Oh, Cocoa Butter.
Who is that? I keep forgetting
Aaron
his
Neville.
Name.
Aaron Neville.
Aaron Neville.
Yeah. But I won't do that. Oh, that's a different guy.
No! They do like he goes out and they do this monstrous duet. Imagine
don't you
that.
Love the part where that song starts to rock? Like, it's been so quiet. They're like, I would do anything, folk! No! Wow! Like,
he's sweating and he's huffing and puffing.
You're like, no, Loaf, this still sucks horribly. God, why did you have to turn up the rock? It's just horrible.
Oh, and Ladies' Night. I don't know who sings that, but you know what I'm talking about.
No, I love that song.
It's ladies' night, and the feeling right.
What
a night.
Oh, what a night.
Put that back in 63. Yeah. That's a good one.
That one too. All right.
Y'all know the
seal
obvious.
That capsule and get it the fuck out of here.
Yeah, here's the thing. Before we seal it, before we send it off, we all know that we have to ceremoniously rename the ship from Voyager 2. You know, Electric Boogaloo to the USS, the USS Rick Astley.
Yeah,
and right in the middle of the whole mix, it just rickrolls all of them.
Yeah,
they're like, oh, this is a pretty good. Really, Earth is sharing their cultural. Like, oh, those fuckers, Oh, let's blow them up. That's it.
Yeah.
Blow them up, cocksuckers. Rickroll us, dick faces.
We're done.
Oh, okay, we're done. Because we're pretty much over an hour and a half now. But what we can do is we can take the rest of the questions and do the post show.
No, I'm done.
So there's about... What?
No, I'm kidding.
There's about four or five questions left. So we'll do those in the post show. You can get access to the post show at vault.hijinksandsue.com by making a one-time donation of any amount. Or if you want to keep getting access, you can set up a subscription and get monthly access to the Vault podcasts, post shows, the desktop wallpapers, behind-the-scenes art, behind-the-scenes writing, all kinds of shit. Any donation amount will do it for a month. And certainly check out store.hijinksandsue.com for t-shirts and prints of any Hijinks and Sue comic. If you want to hear your question answered... And it's not been yet, then that's where it's gonna be. So, thanks for hanging out. Thank you to Eli.
No.
And to Alex.
Sasquatch.
And to Sasquatch. Oh, that was that turned into a Tusken Raider. Whatever. Hey, I can play the outro. And we can probably hear it. Oh, there it is. There it is. And, and to Alex. Did I say Alex or Sasquatch?
Alex Castle, PhD.
Alex Castle, PI.
PI.
Whoa.
Asshole.
Actually, a really good show for you to pitch might be Alex Castle, PI, PhD.
PI, PhD.
Yeah.
By day a doctor, by night the hardest PI you'll ever
read. You're a grad student. You're doing your doctoral thesis and then you solve crimes by night. So you're going for your PhD. You're in night school. Night school, yeah. PI. Alex Castle. Night school PI.
It's like Batman without a costume.
Sure. Why not? So thanks for hanging out. Thanks for putting up with our technical issues. Hopefully it's just going to get better and better every week. And thank you to the fancy bastards in the chat here enjoying themselves and each other. It's just beautiful to watch you play together, touch each other, caress ever so softly.
Yes.
Whatever. Wait, so are they supposed to hear us also?
They should. Oh, shit.
Uh-oh.
No, wait, they can't hear you. There's no way they can hear you.
Didn't you guys do this before?
No, not with video, not with streaming.
Oh, snap.